This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
7:43, we continue live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. It takes more than a day of giving, but let's start with that and get you focused. All day today, we're asking WGN listeners to participate in the Day of Giving to benefit victims of Hurricane Harvey. Text Harvey to 90999. And it's an automatic $10 donation. You can also give at 855-999-GIVE. And thank you for that. Mayor Rahm Emanuel is here. I want to talk to you about what's going on in Houston, infrastructure and things. But first off, let's get to that education bill the governor's signing today. Are you happy?
Yes, very happy. We're going to, I'll take one little nugget out of it. We're going to be able to add 2,000 more kids to full-day pre-K. So it'll bring
It's a big deal.
Yes.
Get them early.
And, you know, we started, when I became mayor, there were only half the kids were in full-day kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
We now have universal full-day kindergarten for every child, and now we're up to by 70% more kids in full-day pre-K. And you can see in the growth, Chicago leads the country in math gains and reading gains, both for 8th and 4th graders. And in that level, not only happy, but also financially. I mean, these are great academic gains. We've been operating under the cloud from finances. And for the first time, got to be honest, Chicago children and Chicago taxpayers are going to be treated like equal citizens here. And actually, the state of Illinois should actually be proud of what's being happening here in Chicago public schools.
Why can't the Republicans and Democrats get along downstate and get more done now?
Well,
is this an icebreaker or is it just a moment?
That's for the governor to decide, and I say that because you're the chief executive, you're the leader of the state. I think there's an opportunity to decide to see what a win-win looks like. And there was a lot of demonization in Chicago, a lot of blaming, and I think that's the wrong way to approach a solving solution. As somebody who worked for two presidents, Congress, but also as mayor, you usually say, okay, what's important to you, and this is what's important to me. That's the basis. If you don't try to go to an agreement based on you have to lose for me to win, but what do you need for this to be a decent agreement, an honest compromise? You can get a lot done. And I'll just tell you, as somebody who worked on a series of pieces of legislation for two presidents, but also as mayor, not everybody agrees with me, but you basically sit down and say, what do you need? Because I got to tell you what I need. And if you start with that level of trust, not demonize the person individually, calling them names, understand and appreciate what they need to get done, you can make things happen. So he has to decide, as the chief executive, the leader of the state, what's the approach going to be?
The Speaker of the House, and you may have missed this, but I actually congratulated him the other day.
And they
thought the transmitter would shut off.
But I think President Obama had it in a sense of his demeanor, etc. If you sit there and say to somebody and build a level of personal trust, even when you have philosophical differences. I mean, I sat across the table for President Clinton negotiating the balanced budget agreement.
Right.
They had basic views, and they weren't going to move from. But there were other things that said, okay, this is not a, this is a B, and that's an A to you. I get it. That's what an honest compromise is. If you have trust, you can get a lot done. If you don't have trust and you don't respect the other person, you'll have your policy differences. You're not going to get anything done.
Well, I've never seen a deal done where I get everything and you get nothing without payback coming down the road, and nobody wins in that
regard.
Well,
this goes back, but when you say you agree with the education, 90% of the education bill, 90%, but you're going to veto it, it's hard to start a conversation on that.
Yeah.
We're not going to have a debate about the last 10%.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, that's not exactly what he said, but...
No, it's not what he is.
And that's that without what he's saying.
You know what Beth Purvis said? She said he agrees with 90% of the bill.
The deal is, in defense of the governor, whom I will defend because I think this is a big win for the state, for you, and for him, is the process in Springfield is so there's too much power centralized in one place. And I don't want to ruin the spirit of ear of good feeling, but it's a two-way street.
I know it lasted 2 minutes. It's out of the system.
I know.
Let's go back to how we really feel.
We tried. I'm trying to put it in the – it is a two-way street.
Yeah.
Hopefully this is a sign – That thawing has occurred, we get things done.
I totally agree with you. I think that there's an opportunity, but I also know this. If you're the chief executive, you set the tone. You're the only person that can hit the reset button. And this education, and that's what I said, go back to what I said when the bill was first being crafted. This is a historic opportunity for the governor to claim something that everybody for 25 years in this state claimed. Illinois was dead last in funding education. It was dead last in equity as it related to education for poor kids. And the education is their ticket out of poverty. You can be the governor that rewrote the future of Illinois. I actually believe the bill he signed today will do that. And rather than been a problem to that and a speed bump, he should have gotten in front of that parade. The fact is, we're here, and I'm most proud of the equity across the system, because not only are we making gains against a headwind, that headwind becomes a tailwind for us. And important, and I know that Diana Rauner shares this, and when I was in college, I actually was studying to become an early childhood educator. The ability to make incredible investments. 2,000 more children now will get full-day pre-K. We're going to have a lot of resources spent on the 0 to 3 years. That is a tremendous investment.
Well,
that's
how you pay it forward. You pay it forward for the city and for the state. Get them young. Get them young. Give them a foundation for education.
Listen, I mean, we were just talking before. My middle one is leaving for college this week.
It's a big deal.
And if it wasn't for the time and energy and attention that Amy faced, it would have been a different trajectory.
Right.
We've seen our kids grow up, and I know, as the son of a pediatrician, I know you thought I was going to say something else, but as the son of a pediatrician,
if the pause is any longer, I was going to fill it for you.
But that was the on-air FCC 5-second break. But on the seriousness is just as somebody also who studied it and wanted to actually pursue a career in early childhood education. Those years 0 to 5 are irreplaceable.
Absolutely.
And if you lay that foundation, a lot of the future is
set.
Well,
the ultimate truth for you and for the governor, for anybody in a leadership position, is you pay me now or you pay me later. Mm-hmm. Take care of kids from 0 to 5, and you're not going to have to pay the bills later that you'll have to pay if you don't. But just to leave this for now, because we've got a lot of things we've got to get to. But I do believe that we've got an opportunity here. This is more than a fork in the road. But the speaker also needs to take this as an opportunity to move the House forward and compromise going forward as well in his own quiet way.
But look, I think once the governor accepted that there were some basic tenets for the speaker, I don't want to speak for him, he can do that. But for the Democrats, then there can be an agreement. And that's why there was an agreement that was an honest compromise. And it allows Chicago, for the first time, our taxpayers will actually see their teachers' pensions and resources coming back, which has never happened before. It will also make sure that we don't lose money because we have poor kids. We'll actually get state support because it takes more to help kids of poverty out of poverty with a good education.
Right.
And that's a fundamental break with the precedent of the past funding in Illinois.
So Durkin, Cullerton, Brady, and Madigan, well done by the four of you. Infrastructure.
Yeah.
We're looking at Houston.
Yeah.
This is, a nightmare, what these people are going through every minute of every day. And,
sure.
Think back to the flood in 92. The retaining wall collapses. Under the city of Chicago, you have this massive flood. You hope to God this never happens to another big town, small town, anywhere. But what keeps you up at night when you look at what's going on at Houston?
If my radio station is left on WGN in the morning.
Yeah, I'll bet. That'll keep you up.
No, I think, I'm leaving today. I mean, I'm leaving this show and at 11 o'clock. Or 10:30, we're going to cut the ribbon on the new Washington Wabash station. That's a state of the art. By 2019, 40 some stations out of 140 will be totally new and rebuilt in the city of Chicago. Half the track will be new. You know what's happening in New York and D.C. on their mass transit system? Not happening here. We have an unprecedented $8.5 billion investment in our mass transit system. And I take it to work. It works and it's efficient, and that's important. For an economy, if you want a 21st century economy, you must have a 21st century transportation system. And if you don't invest in it, your economy, your city will come to a halt. And you can see glaring examples of that. Now, in this area of water, I'll actually be leaving in a week or so to Israel to be the keynote at a water conference about conversion of brown water to green, safe drinking water, water conservation. And I want Chicago to be the nexus of research between Israeli universities and the city of Chicago, because we're all going to see that the type of investments in new technology around water conversion and water conservation are key to the future. In the same way that oil and energy was for the last 50 years, that's going to be true for the next 50 years of water. And how we treat Lake Michigan, how we treat the river, is going to be key to Chicago's economic vitality.
Well, D.C. politics better than just about anybody. The Congress doesn't have a lot of work days between now and the end of the year, and you have an epically unpopular president. Could you get infrastructure done between now and the end of the year? Because you're not going to get taxes done.
Well, the president just yesterday gave a speech on that. I don't think they're going to get it because I don't think there's much to the president's plan. we've chosen a different course, not only on public transportation, we've chosen a different course on the way we're investing in our roads. I also think, and I would hope, and this is where I would actually go, Steve, take this moment of bipartisanship down in Springfield. We haven't had a investment in transportation and capital bill in over a decade.
The governor wants one.
Use this opportunity now and say, okay, what do you need? What are you willing to do? Because Illinois is in the dead center of the country. We're the inland port of America. If it runs on runways, rails, or roads, it comes in and out of the state of Illinois, right. Chicago, right. And say, I will lead and make sure we have an investment in 21st century transportation system, which supports 15% of all the jobs in the state. It's a major effort for Chicago. And I think right now, the biggest move, if I'm not advising the governor, but I would make transportation and a new capital bill, number one, because I'm also, I'll give you an example, I'll go close on this. He's going to do the signing at Ebinger Elementary School on the northwest side of Chicago. I was there.
The education funding bill?
I was there. It's a fabulous school. Serena, the principal, does an unbelievable job. We just made it a full international baccalaureate school and a $20 million investment in a modern new facility with computer labs, science labs, artistic center, new cafeteria,
sure.
About 15. That's what we need is a capital bill for our roads, our schools. That invests in the future. You cannot have a strong future if you're not willing to invest.
Well, I also think you can't miss the messages. I mean, what's going on in Houston is a natural disaster, but it's a natural disaster that sheds a light on how poorly systems were in place in Houston. So what's it going to take? Another Minneapolis bridge collapse before we get the message?
Here's what I would say to the, the governor's not going to listen to me, but if he was, I would say, Washington's not going to come to our rescue.
Right.
You have a historic opportunity to hit the reset button. Put in investments in transportation as your reset button. And I think you'll find the Democrats, if you extend your hand, ready to grab it and shake it.
You're talking some fascinating.
Hold that thought, Pat. Hold that thought before Mike's head explodes in the booth. Stand by.
No,
one
can
second.
We watch that? No. Yeah. Talk. I want to see that. That's kind of cool.
Stand by. Traffic and more with Pat Brady, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and you guys on 720 WG. Mayor Rahm Emanuel is here, and I want to ask you about a couple of things. IBM has come out with their global cities list again, and the city deserves a congratulations and a pat on the back.
Yeah, this is IBM does a study of 100 cities. Globally, Chicago, 5 years in a row, is the number one city for direct foreign investment and in North America, and it's the only city in the United States on the top 15 worldwide, and that's 5 years in a row. There's a lot of confidence by worldwide investors in the city of Chicago today, tomorrow, and in the future, and it's not a one-year hit. It's 5 years in a row, and in fact, 2 years ago, when Chicago hit the list as number one, our direct foreign investment was greater than Atlanta, Montreal, and Miami combined.
Let's say that's a lot of good news.
And you can, from here, you can see across the river that Chinese investment, $1 billion.
Sure.
That's 1,200 people working, putting that building
100
up.
100 yards away with the Apple store, yeah. And the cranes. Anytime you go to a big city and you see cranes, that's a good sign.
I think, knock on wood, we are going to have permitted the most cranes in the last decade in the city.
That's great.
It's going to be north of 53.
I need you for one more second because sure. I wanted to say a word that is the filthiest word in politics, taxes. And then Pat has been holding his breath since his question.
No, I just want to have the mayor back on my show so he'll take some more of my questions maybe next time. See if that's all right with you.
Pat,
mayor, you're always welcome on my show.
Yeah,
Pat's question coming up, maybe. Yeah. But first, news
hit the
next
pause button.
720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
1,000 shows coming up. We'll tell you about that celebration. I'm sure the mayor will probably want to throw a parade for us. Mayor Rahm Emanuel is here. This is show number 979. How's Eddie Johnson?
He's, as of last night when I talked, everything's good. I'm actually going to go see him this morning.
And his son did the donation,
yes.
Of the kidney.
Yeah, I joked with Eddie beforehand. I said, I checked. We're current on our Blue Cross Blue Shield, so this is good. Let's go.
right.
We're not a month behind. Go ahead. It's all good.
Your own personal health plan's just yeah. Fine.
Your PPO?
Yeah.
We're current on. Don't worry about it.
He did a great job at getting in shape, listening to his doctor's orders, and doing the right thing. So we have every reason to believe he's going to be fine.
He has a personal goal, he said. Not only A, for the surgery, B, the other one is he wanted to, I run you know, with the recruits.
Yeah, yeah.
I try to do every class. I don't hit everyone. He wants to go do the run with us. So
that's tremendous.
Yeah, I give him a lot of credit for the discipline. It takes a lot of credit.
All right, when I say taxes, you say what?
I say Cochran Show, WJM.
You're not going to hang that around my neck.
No, so here, you know, there have been some questions about the city as it relates to the schools and this effort that's in the bill. And I just want to be real clear about this. You know, we inherited, when I walked into the office, a financial mess at CPS.
Yep.
There was a 12-year hiatus on ever contributing to the teacher's pension by the city. And they asked for that, and it was wrong because they kicked the can down the road. There was a 70-plus year hiatus by the state never contributing to teachers' pensions like they do in the suburbs and downstate.
Right.
And since 83, the teachers basically took a hiatus. They only paid 2%, not the 9%.
And the math doesn't lie. Somebody's got to pay the bill.
And you put everybody goes on, everybody kicks the can down the road. Guess what? Now, we averted that crisis. I'm up front. We not only now are securing our teachers' pension, which the Chicago teachers' pension is better funded than the state of Illinois' teachers' pension.
Right.
But we did it by asking everybody, teachers are going to have to pay more, their full share. The state's going to, which is part of this agreement, they're going to have to step up for the first time, treat teachers here and taxpayers here just like the downstate. And the city will step up. I don't want to do it, but the fact of the matter is everybody, for different reasons, over the years, kicked the can down the road, played politics with pensions, and did it at the expense of not only taxpayers but teachers and also students. And we have to set it right now. Under my tenure on the corporate side, we eliminated the per-employee head tax. I happen to think in the right way we'll do certain revenues for investing in the future like in infrastructure, but I've been very clear not only in as a per-employee but on pensions. We will step up and do what politicians in the past never did, which is be honest and tell people what we got to do to fix this to avert the crisis, because if you don't fix it, you're going to get not only downgraded, it's going to cost you more money in the long term.
Pat Brady.
Mayor, if you were a flower, what color would you be?
This is why I didn't let you ask the question before.
You know, you flew all the way here to deliver the corn for that question. You know, I'm glad you have another career line.
No, I'm serious. what are we going to do about pensions, teacher pensions? It's got to be reformed or we're going to all be bankrupt.
Well, you know, I've negotiated. First of all, let me say this. For Chicago, all four pensions at the city level, we're upside down. We now have them on actuarial funding. We have an agreement with all the unions, police, fire, laborers, and the municipal employees. All of them are done. We have a revenue stream for all of them and have been recognized by the rating agencies for that.
So the question is that we're not going to go back to the well on a tax increase again. We've got this thing stable going forward in light of what you just said about the people that ignore it for decades.
But for the teachers, the same thing. But look, if you take a hiatus from the city level for a decade or more, the state for 70 years, teachers for 30-some-odd years, you're going to have a crisis. You got to pay into it. Now, I don't agree with the Supreme Court's decision in Illinois. I don't. I try to negotiate a different approach. They said no. Those are the rules because of the Constitution. And I think what you're going to have to do is everybody's going to have to step up, but everybody. You cannot. The employees are going to have to step up and be part of a new system and actually contribute to their own retirement, the full amount that it takes. That's also going to be true for the public as a whole. In that effort,
but can you do it without a constitutional convention?
No. I mean, you're never going to get that agreement if all you do is deal with public employees on that side.
Could they agree to something? Is there a deal if they could just
if you go
maybe
back,
that's dreaming, but would they agree to something?
You know, I don't mean to show you how strange I am, but if you go back to the actual debate during the Illinois Constitutional Convention in the 70s. They knew that what they were doing was basically sitting in a time bomb. That if you go back to the side letters from the pension board, et cetera, that what they were writing in the sense that you could not touch, could not reform, that the moment you became an employee from day one, you were guaranteed. There was never a way to go back and do that.
So why set it up that way?
I wasn't around in the 70s.
No, but I'm saying you said weird, like you studied that like a political nerd. So you knew about it and researched it. What's your take? What's your belief?
Look, everybody, part of a negotiation is you're negotiating the terms. And the notion that something is involatile, you cannot change it, is crazy.
It is crazy.
And so, but that's, you know, our court, Supreme Court, is reading our Constitution. Other states have similar constitutions. Their courts, their Supreme Court, read it much more liberal than ours. But We're in Illinois. I have to abide by the law. I'm going to abide by the law. I tried a different approach, and to the union's credit, they tried to negotiate a different agreement, both the labor and municipal. Supreme Court said no, and they were willing to make changes to the terms, and they said no.
But even the terms on both sides added the 3% a year, some of the sweeteners.
Listen, what happened in the past 40 years, what was sweeteners, you get 80% of your last 3 years, and people were getting their salaries bumped up. Those were things that were agreed to, and they just let somebody else will pay the bill. They didn't want to face the political
And once they costs. Were agreed to, that was it. You can't move anything.
Yeah. And it's crazy.
Recognizing that it's a problem, what do you want the public to understand? Because by my mind, it has to be the ultimate, and that would be a constitutional convention, and that's the only way to change it.
Here's you're focusing appropriate on pensions. I've said this when I first ran, and I'm proud of what we've done in Chicago. In our health care costs today in the city, mm-hmm. are basically the same as when I took office. We have done a very, and I said this, the city healthcare costs were rising at 10%, the third largest item. We were not getting revenue at 10%. It was unsustainable. We made changes with our partners in labor. They've been a party to those negotiations, and we have actually done a better job in controlling costs and also providing, I think, better healthcare. And I think that's a model of the right way to approach. It's also another benefit. And everybody's entitled to health care and retirement security, but they have to be a partner in making sure it's stable. And it's because there's not an ATM machine called the
taxpayers. So your point on a constitutional convention, that they're not going to accept the things to be shoved down their throat. It's better to negotiate something out versus doing a convention and take it or leave it.
Otherwise, it's just going to be wages are flat. You're not going to get it. You're going to just,
Well, that's why the union leaders, I feel like the union leaders have misled the rank and file, because there's only so much money.
Here's my thing. This is why I left Washington. And this gets to a larger one-day philosophical discussion. Basically, D.C.'s retirement and health care benefit program with the Defense Department. Mm-hmm. And if we don't watch it and, don't do what we're right. I mean, I'm proud we're about to go make a big investment in education. We're going to open up a new L station, invest in the future. Those are the things. If you don't watch it, the city of Chicago, or any municipality, the state of Illinois, will become a health care and retirement benefit association with a police department
and
a fire department.
Right.
And that means you don't have the resources for new libraries, new schools like we're doing at Emminger, a new rail station in Washington. You have to have the resources to invest. That means working together to respect the work of public employees, but do it in a way that also respects the hard-earned dollars of taxpayers.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel, I appreciate your time, and please tell your wife, Amy, congratulations to both of you on sending another fine youngster off to college
Brown
University, and that I like Amy better than you, but you
if you really cared, you may be getting us a box of Kleenex, man.
I understand.
This is going to be a rough one.
May run by Costco, get you the whole crate. thanks. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you.
It's 8:20 back after this on 720 WGN.